welcome to a very special episode of the Geek Night In. It's very special because this episode, episode 46, we are recording live from Nine Worlds and we have an audience. Make some noise, audience.
Yay, audience noises.
Audience noises indeed. So these are all sorts of lovely people who are wonderful and they have come to hear us talk about geeky, geeky things because apparently that's something that people talk about at Nine Worlds. Did you know that?
No idea.
No,
it's a complete shock to me.
Yeah. So I'm your host, Laura. I'm here every week, basically bossing everyone around and keeping them on topic. I'm here this week with Tilly.
Hi.
Tilly's here. Yay. We're also here with Kate.
Woo.
And Gemma.
Hi.
And we're all in the same room. This very rarely happens. Once a week we get to do this, and it is lovely because you're all
here.
Once a week we do this podcast, once a year we get to do it together.
Time does dilate at Nine Worlds.
It does.
Very strange things happen to our perception of time, so...
Can I have a cinnamon roll now?
Fine, you can have a cinnamon roll. Gemma, do you want to explain the cinnamon rolls that Tilly has asked for right off the bat of this podcast?
Okay, yeah, I decided that because Nine Worlds is doing fika this year, which in Sweden is coffee and cakes in an afternoon, and they're doing fika in the morning, which feels weird. But I thought we'd do it properly with proper Swedish stuff. So I brought
fake figures.
I brought kernel jiffjar, which like a little cinnamon roll, and jätten citron, which are kind of like a lemon wafer thing, which I never tried before. But
so are we just going to kick this right off the bat and just stuff our faces with food, which makes for great, wonderful podcast radio?
Oh, it's really strong.
Is this the lemon biscuit? People who are here in our audience, would you like to help yourselves to some food?
Have some food and shout what you think of food if you like food.
Swedish. I've eaten enough of those.
That's all right.
Unfortunately, we have some Swedish people who are like, great, you bought breakfast.
Yeah, so, boo Swedish people.
Yeah. Me and Kate have currently got the lemon...
It's like
the lemon biscuit things.
It's like pink wafers. Which I always think of Pink Panther wafers because that's how they were branded.
That is how they were
branded. But lemon, and it's very strong.
That one needs as well, actually.
Please, can I have a lemon biscuit?
Uh-huh.
And my Sansa Pop vinyl is taking care of the lemons, obviously.
That is very strong lemon. That hurts my teeth. My teeth feel physically painful. It's not unsweet. There is sweetness to it. But biting into it, like, on one side of my mouth has made the rest of my mouth painful.
It's like limoncello.
Yeah, it's very
cinnamon roll. They're wonderful.
I will try a cinnamon roll in a moment. It's very sharp, very quick with its sharpness. Very fast and quick.
Quick with its
quick
sharpness.
Quick and sharp,
fast.
It looks like it's got actual lemon in it.
No.
Yeah, that really hurts my teeth. Ow.
I'm sticking to the euphla.
We're sorry.
Can you pass over one of these wonderful cinnamon rolls?
No. What is it with you guys and this lemon so strong? It's not strong.
That's strong lemon.
It's not that it's strong, it just hurts my teeth.
It's so strong that it hurts your teeth. I can barely taste the lemon in it.
Oh, this is like, it's like MasterChef going on in here.
Apparently, I'm just blind in my taste buds.
You know what it's actually more like? The recently returned to TV Great British Bake Off.
Woo!
Woo! So, the Great British Bake Off came back to TV.
Wonderfully.
We need to do some... I apologise if you occasionally hear just an air conditioner start and stop. The Great British Bake Off came back to TV and... It's wonderful, as always. There are wonderful drinking games that come out of it if you're a drinking type person. Involving take a shot every time that the plasters mysteriously appear on someone's hands. What else do you drink for in the drinking game?
When they sit and look at the oven.
Sitting on the floor looking at the oven.
It's a very... Great British Bake Off... Does everybody know Great British Bake Off?
No, it seems to have started since I left the country.
Okay, so we were waiting for you to go.
It is the most quintessentially British show on TV, where it is just a lot of very sweet-seeming British people baking cakes and getting told off by an old woman and, like, a middle-aged man about, like, no, your delicious cake is not delicious enough.
It's an amateur baking competition, but they do it in a tent in the middle of summer with some bunting. Which, you know, everybody loves a bit of bunting. And
Sue Perkins and Sue Perkins Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks is an actor, I think.
Sue and Mel.
Who are comedians from sort of early noughties, I guess.
Yeah.
And have done lots of things. And Sue's done loads of food stuff.
Sue's a lesbian. She's just great.
She is awesome.
Amazing. I think she's probably one of the best lesbians I've heard of.
She is one of my favorite lesbians, obviously behind you.
She's up there in my top 10.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But no, we watched the first episode while we were at Nine Wilds, me and Tilly, and they made a Madeira cake, and someone's Madeira cake didn't have enough of a crack in the top of it, which apparently affected the taste. There was walnut cakes, and the big thing about walnut cakes was, did they chop the walnuts thin enough, or did
you
they
have
chop
to chop a walnut into 8 pieces to make them small enough?
Yes, but no more than 8. And then they had to try and make very fancy Black Forest gâteau cakes, and lots of people made very extravagant, like,
trees
out of chocolate.
Yeah,
people were, like, sculpting
really
chocolate to make it into trees.
A lot of them looked really nice. I felt so bad for that woman whose moose didn't set there.
Oh my god, I think that was, like, that was sadder than when Princess Diana died.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the British consciousness. It's so...
My brain's just caught up to that sentence.
Her moose didn't set, and it was this, like, lovely woman.
Yeah, she lifted the set of her cake, and the moose just...
Okay. The big problem was she initially had to remake one of the sections of her cake, which set her back 12 minutes because it didn't rise properly. So she's 12 minutes behind schedule, and she had 12 minutes less for the mousse in her gâteau to set. So she put it in the fridge. She had to take it out early because she was running out of time. And she takes off the plastics around that had been holding it in place while it set, and the entire cake just melted. And
she was
really sad because, like, she's there just like, I'm going to get kicked out of the show, I'm going to get kicked out, I'm going to lose.
But Ollie Murs did instead.
Yeah. And
the Ollie Murs guy.
Oh, Sue was so... Was it Sue or was it Mel? I can't remember.
It was Sue.
Sue was so sweet. She's going, it's just a cake, it's fine. She was like, it's not a cake, it's not just a cake.
And she really got it back together. By the time that everything was being judged, she held it together well,
like,
and she did a really good
job. Do you remember Ian, I think it was, last year, who threw out his Baked Alaska?
It was called...
I think I'd seen this one. Like,
it was a huge scandal.
Like, we're talking front page news in Britain. Bingate. And basically, I'm not joking.
Newspapers have front page stories in the corner about man throws his cake in the bin on TV show.
It was horrible. And basically what had happened was his Baked Alaska hadn't set. It's filmed sort of May, June, July, when it is very warm and they're outside in a tent. They do have problems with temperature and trying to get things cold enough. So it wasn't, things weren't setting, and somebody had... The way they edited it, somebody had taken his Baked Alaska out of the freezer, and it looked like it had been left on the side for about 10 minutes, whereas it actually had been there for like 20 seconds, and it was just all melted. And rather than just giving poor Hollywood and Mary Berry, poor Hollywood the male judge, and Mary Berry what was left of it, he got so frustrated he threw it in the bin, and everybody who was watching
as was demonstrated this week with this Black Forest gâteau, it's better to serve the judges a cake
disaster
that has gone wrong than no cake at all. Ooh, have we got a guest joining us?
No.
Are you just looking in? This is Owen Mason, who I've done podcast things with before, is just popping his head in the podcast room.
Alright.
We're inviting him in for a cinnamon roll. So he threw away his cake. And as was demonstrated this week, like, the woman whose cake went completely wrong did not get kicked out the show.
Which
it's like
good.
They still judged it. They were like, it looks like a mess, but...
It didn't taste very neat.
Oh, yeah, they also said that the sponge cake tasted like a deflated tyre or something.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm sure it didn't. I'm sure it tasted like a lovely chocolate cake.
Yeah, it's like, perhaps a little bit of, like, a dry or too moist cake, but it didn't taste like rubber, I'm sure. But they were like, no, you still served up a thing, and these elements were good. Your other two cakes were good. Everything's fine.
And the Ollie Murs guy went.
There was a guy in a trilby hat that was a bit of a hipster, and he got kicked out.
Oh, it was just like, oh, I'm not following the rules. It's like, wow.
He was like, I'm going to do things differently. And the Black Forest gâteau was my favourite, when they were like, this actually isn't a Black Forest gâteau.
Which is good, because I fucking hate Black Forest gâteau.
I feel like I can hate him on general principle, given my hatred of trilbies. Trilbies are appropriated fedoras, and they're not the same thing.
But as we have said many times, you are the only person that has ever made us look and think.
Yeah, we were, Kate and I were chatting the other day, and we were saying, like, we've learned from Gemma, don't judge a fedora by its cover.
You are the one redeeming person that's like, maybe that hat is not a bad hat inherently.
I still see people wearing fedoras, and I'm like, ugh. But then I'm like, no, wait. They might still be a good person.
They might be a Gemma.
Exactly. I think Gemma's still the only person who frequently wears a fedora who's actually a good person.
The way to tell is a Trilby has the brim tucked up at the back, and they're generally much narrower brims.
Oh my god, that's always the people who are the worst always wear them.
Yeah, they're wearing Trilbies. This is why I hate them.
Well,
they don't even know what they're wearing.
Yes, and I apologise that the world has misdirected its anger at fedoras rather than trilbies. Mm. Very sorry about this.
Justice for fedoras.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we are at Nine Worlds, which, if you haven't picked up on this from all of our talking about it in previous episodes, it is...
yeah,
we always go on about this. It's a lovely geek culture convention happening in London with lots of very supportive things where it's like, hey, we have, like, communication level badges and pronoun badges and everything's really nice and wonderful. So, has anyone seen a panel at Nine Worlds they've particularly enjoyed so far?
All of mine, obviously.
Yeah, you've done great panels.
Actually, yeah, the Defence of Sansa Stark panel was particularly good.
This is the bit where we're going to flatter our co-host, Kate. You are a scarily good public speaker, and I am very, very jealous of your public speaking abilities.
The first time I gave a speech was my granny and granddad's wedding anniversary when I was about 14, and I wrote it in green felt tip about 2 hours before the party, and everyone said I was amazing because I was 14 and they were all very impressed. And then, randomly, at my grandmother's funeral, I gave a eulogy, and everyone was really impressed. And I was like, book me for yours, you know, get in while it's hot. But yeah, ever since then, if it's something I'm happy to talk about, like...
I will say, get in while it's hot is a really awkward phrase to use for funerals, because it's just like, hey, you want me to talk at your funeral? Well, you'd better be next in the funeral line.
Yeah, basically. We have a very dark humour in my family, and people seem genuinely like, okay, so do I take a business card? And everyone was just so proud, I think. Yeah, so I have done...
You can definitely do a eulogy in my funeral.
Thank you. I'll do it before you die, if you like.
Oh, that'd be great. We'll have a practice funeral.
Isn't that the plot of The Fault in Our Stars?
Well, it's also in Futurama, is the one I'm thinking of, where they give Bender a funeral in order to reassure him about, like, how good his life is, and he just smashes his martini glass and just, like, you call this a funeral? And just storms off.
That's what I would do.
Mm. But, no, am I allowed to talk about Sansa Stark? And then I promise it will be gone for another year.
You promised at the end of your talk that this was it gone for another year, but fine.
And then you promised at the end of our panel yesterday that would be the last time.
Do you want to talk about Sansa Stark? Go on.
Well, I want to talk about the panel, so it's more meta than that. Yes, I did my talk on the first day, on Friday, of Lemon Cakes and Courtesy, a Defence of Sansa. Oh my lord.
Sansa Stark.
Defend of Sansa Stark. And I hadn't practiced it once. I had no idea how long it was going to be, if it was going to be too long, too short. I didn't know what slides were coming up. And I'm, you know, usually so modest, but I absolutely bossed it. And I had so much fun, and all the audience members were lovely, and there were people who came to hear me cry about my precious cinnamon roll.
There was like a line of people at the end, like, I was trying to go tell Kate, I was going to be like, that was really good, I really liked that, I'm going to go find Laura and then I'm going to go to another panel. And I had to wait 15 minutes to get through this queue to talk to Kate.
I was doing a panel next door, and it's really daunting when your panel's not full and you can see people queuing out the door trying to get into your panel. And at the end, we could hear the standing ovation you got.
It was very well promoted, given that I haven't shut up about it for like the last 4 months. But I mean, I had really supportive people. There were a few, you know, people who were not so keen on Sansa, but were willing to listen and hopefully persuaded them, and also gave existing Sansa fans some new ideas and new ways to think about it. And yeah, some really, really interesting questions and comments, and I could have gone on for 2-3 more hours.
Do you want an entire Sansa Stark track?
Yes!
Next year?
Don't joke about
You can have 12
things.
Hours of content entirely about Sansa. Oh,
I really, really enjoyed it, and the animation, I think, was my favourite bit, because do you remember, like, doing custom animation on PowerPoint when you were a kid?
You make the thing bounce around the screen.
Steve Jobs right now, you know, you think you're amazing. And it took me ages to make a slide where I had two stick men. There wasn't like a drawing tool, so I had to make a, I had to get the circle, and then I had to put the lines in the right place. And I put Game of Thrones writers of the TV show, and then wrote nuance, and just made it bounce over their heads and then disappear. And everybody, I got applause for it, and it was so
it
worth
was
it.
It was really good. It was really funny.
It was so worth it.
I like how that's childhood training.
Yes. Yeah. I managed to make a podcast about the hamster I had. A podcast? A PowerPoint about the hamster I had. Therefore, I will one day be able to use these useless custom animation skills.
Hooray, woo. Now, one thing that I think is worth pointing out about this particular recording of the podcast, being in the same room as Gemma, there is a prop on the table during today's podcast. Do you want to describe what's on the table?
Well, yes. I mean, I could also just... do that.
Oh my god.
Gemma the Sith Lord has brought her her lightsaber with her.
Yeah,
it does get
quite loud.
Is that red? No, but Gemma is learning to be a Sith. Am I wrong that you want to be a Sith rather than a Jedi?
I identify that as Sith, yes. And Lunisport is broad enough to allow this. Nice.
Why don't you have a red lightsaber there?
Because Sithness is fluid.
Yeah. I'm like, alternative Sith.
Is it bad? Don't judge like, me. I've only just realised that Sith sounds kind of like cis, and I now want to say that you're Sith gendered. You are a Sith gender Jedi. No,
Sith
you're not
presenting
a Jedi.
As Jedi. Does that work with the lightsaber?
Yeah, I guess it does. So I've coloured mine purple, which is Mace Windu, which is pretty much as Jedi as you get.
I loved. I had a Star Wars annual when I was younger. It went through like the meanings of the different colours of lightsaber, and then at the end it was like Mace Windu's lightsaber is purple because the actor requested it to be purple.
Yeah, because like, no one's going to be able to see me in the big fight scenes. I want a purple lightsaber, and they were like, oh fine. Yeah.
Well, they were like, some lightsabers are blue because of this, and some lightsabers are green because of this, and that was like,
Mace
Windu's is purple because he wanted it to be purple.
To me, that feels much like the Harry Potter getting sorted into Gryffindor. It's like, you got sorted into this house because of these traits, you got sorted into this house because of these traits. You are in Gryffindor because you asked to be, and that's how you get a purple lightsaber.
That is basically it, because the law has it that you can only, it's part of the Jedi initiation process, is you go into the cave of lightsaber crystals, and you have to use the Force in order to discern which is yours. And the reason the Sith sabers are red is because they have to manufacture their own. They don't have access to the same Jedi resources, so they're all red because they're all artificial.
So you could be a Jedi who's broken into said cave and be like, yeah, I like that one, that's a nice crystal.
I like to think I've turned, because basically the sole reason for my identifying as Sith is because I indulge in pleasure too much. And that's really, like, just part of, like, realising at the age of 20 or so that pleasurable things are fun.
What's the path to the dark side again?
Oh,
what leads to what leads to what?
Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to fear.
Fear leads to hate. Hate leads to anger. Anger leads to suffering.
Yes.
And suffering leads to the dark side.
And all of those things start with enjoying life.
Yeah.
So you have to enjoy life in order to start hating things, in order to suffer for your love of things. And then it's like, oh, I love these things too much. Now I am suffering. I am sick.
I definitely
a year from now,
I'll
be down the Anakin angst path, basically.
Please don't go down the Anakin angst
path.
You have
to wear a dressing gown everywhere.
Well, the thing is, you can enjoy a thing, but you can't accept other people enjoying other things, as we've seen for about a decade now.
This is Alwyn. He's lovely. Bad Asperger. Hooray! Hello, you're
hello,
here.
Hello, I'm also leaving because I have volunteer work to do, so...
thank you for helping
us. Run.
Thank you for running Gnome Worlds while we sit in here and eat cinnamon rolls. Yeah. Bad Asperger is lovely, so hooray, thank you for joining us.
Sad Christmas is leaving the room.
Now you're leaving, we are going to talk about Sad Christmas, so have fun and we will talk about Sad Christmas and the many things you made us consume.
Can I take my bar off?
Yes, feel free. Do you want me to edit that out of the podcast?
No.
Does anybody object?
No. There is a live audience to taking your bra off, and that's perfectly fine.
I know. I think it's because I'm always in my pyjamas when we podcast, so I'm having, like, cognitive dissonance or something, and it's, like, just weirding me out.
I'm just going to ask a question to our live audience. How do you feel about the fact that you've just watched a podcast host just be like, yeah, I'm taking my bra off, I can't record, like, in these circumstances?
Yeah, it's just not working
that
out
seems
for me.
Entirely reasonable to me.
I when I go to the cinema... yes. Don't burn it, though. It's expensive. when I go to the cinema, if especially if it's a long movie, the bra's not being
Escape your boob prison.
Exactly. National Express. bra comes off. Basically, any time I'm sat down for more than 20 minutes, the boobs are coming out.
I get this on train journeys around Sweden as well, because they take like 5 hours to get from Stockholm to Malmö.
It takes
just
5 hours to take my bra off. You need an easier bra, honey.
I thought you were, my favourite phrase for it is letting the twins out to play, is a phrase I've heard used, and I just love it.
This may be kind of weird, and if everybody thinks this is weird, edit it out, but if everyone thinks it's normal, then okay. But I have been in the kitchen and my mum is in the living room or vice versa. One of us will just go, did you take your bra off? Yeah. And we know the sound. Oh, that's better, isn't it?
That's just glorious. That is glorious. So, Bad Asperger, who just left our audience, unfortunately, is going to go off and do work. Our corruptor provided us with many, many, many foreign foods and drinks over the course of this weekend.
Such a cliche.
Yeah, I know, right? And I think the one of most note, Gemma did not have any of this, I don't believe. You didn't experience Sad Christmas, did you?
No, I didn't manage to do any of this stuff because I was doing a talk.
Okay. Hey, you experienced Sad Christmas, didn't you?
To be fair, if we'd brought the stuff to you in the talk, we would have been kicked out. Because we were messy last night. Basically...
Sad Christmas is a drink that is themed around
A cinnamon biscuit.
A cinnamon spiced Christmas biscuit. And the biscuit itself is lovely. Do you know what these biscuits... What biscuits we're referring to?
It was like Sinterklaas biscuits.
The biscuits from last night. Do you remember what those were?
No, don't quite.
They were spiced cinnamon biscuits.
With like clove and cinnamon and stuff like that.
They were very, very pleasant and very Christmassy. And there was an alcoholic liqueur that was themed around those. And it had the same base taste of Christmassy spices.
And then it tasted like petrol.
Yeah.
It was just very flat. And you know like how mulled wine and things smell? And you're like, and there's that depth to it. There was no depth, and it was just very two-dimensional, and we all said it tasted like you were drinking it on your own, crying at Christmas.
With a whiskey. It's like, it had this really strong, ethanol aftertaste to it, which is very odd.
I didn't get the ethanol aftertaste, which is why I managed to drink an entire bottle with Tilly. And we were literally just... Tilly doesn't drink, and we were just passing
back and forth a bottle of alcohol that basically is best described as Christmas alone by yourself getting drunk with a whiskey, and this is the third or fourth year you've done it.
But it was
that is what this drink tasted of.
But it was like, Tilly doesn't really drink, I do drink, but I shouldn't be drinking that much. And it was 22%.
I lost the track of it, because we were chatting about stuff.
Mm.
And I completely lost track of it, and we were just passing this bottle between us, and then I got up to go to the toilet, and I was like, oh shit, there's two of everything. Which one's the real one?
But we did have a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we
really
also
good.
Had one other bizarre alcohol, which was from a Dutch music festival that's a sort of grungy metal bikers music festival, and because it's all sort of grungy and motorcycle riding skinheads kind of thing... The alcohol is in basically, if you've ever seen the plastic liter jugs of motor oil, it was in a container from one of those, and it had the Dutch words for delicious and disgusting on it, and it tasted very citric. It wasn't terribly alcoholic, but for something that was sort of so lemony, it was really dark and sort of muddy and brown. It looked
like a hydrocarbon aftertaste.
I wish it did. It looked like diluted motor oil in a jug. It was pleasant, but it was a very weird thing to be drinking out of this just plastic. Oh, I'm drinking some oil. So, that was the Chronicles of Sad Christmas drinks last night. Yay!
Mm, wow.
I just drank rum and played card games.
We did play card games. We started playing... Slash.
Have we talked about Slash on the podcast
before?
Yeah,
we have.
Are our audience aware of Slash?
I should be.
You were playing it last night.
Point out that Ellie won everything. Not even on purpose sometimes.
Yes, this is Ellie, who is one of our podcast guests today, who beat us at every single game that we played. It's like, oh, here's a game about drawing silly things and people having to guess what they are and tricking people into thinking they're something else. Completely just ran away as the victor. We did a game about making up lies, which again, just runaway success. Ellie's amazing at games and we lose everything when we're around Ellie because yeah. Ellie's too good.
I did not win the You Don't Know Jack.
You didn't win You Don't Know Jack, which was the...
I think me won that.
Yeah, that was the quiz game that we did play... well, no, we played it as teams, and didn't the two of you...
Yes.
Oh, we...
You
no, okay, won that so, one. They...
Nearly
were...
broke Kate's thumb at one point.
There were a lot of us, and it was like, oh, there's not enough people, we've got to go in teams. And there were eight of us. There were nine...
Seven.
There were seven of us. And so we needed to be three teams and then one. And me and Tilly both went, I don't want to be on a team with anyone. I want to be on my own. So as punishment, we were put together for being so
We should have let one of them go alone.
And we just absolutely bossed it because we're so competitive.
And there's this one, like, it's a quickfire round where you have to press the button when you see the answer come up on screen. So Kate's holding it like this and I'm, like, got my finger over her thumb. And when I'm seeing the answer, I'm just pushing her thumb down.
It's okay, I have two thumbs.
Yeah, so was I was just, and I got so overexcited, it was like...
We both got very overexcited.
Yeah, I was like punching her
It was good, they were good games. I mean, obviously, you two won't know about this because we're the games experts, Tilly and I.
Yeah.
But it was a really, really good game. It was from Steam, you said you could answer.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, it's this thing called the Jackbox Party Pack, which is a thing you can get on Steam, and it has... five different games that can all be played using your mobile phone as a controller. So you basically go to a web address and put in like a little four-digit code, and you'll then have the controller will be the touchscreen on your internet browser. And yeah, it's just a bunch of silly little games where you do your answers on your phone and everything comes up on the screen and everyone competes having a bit of a laugh about their silly answers. We had lots of answers where we made up fake answers that were about cis, straight, white men. Because that's always a funny punchline at an inclusive event. But
well, there was a lot of, like, what's the worst thing? Well, that wasn't the exact wording, but it was like... eight sixth graders in the US were hospitalised after blank was released in a classroom. And it was like, straight, cis, white men. Sorry, Owen.
At no pretense that this might be the actual answer the game came up
with. Yeah. Imagine if it had been, we would have been like, feminist infiltrators.
Yeah. Many children were hurt after Meninism was released into a classroom.
Yeah.
Because that's amusing. Yay.
To be fair, I think that is a risk.
Yeah,
but children would be hurt if that ever got
exactly.
I have a question for us all.
You have a question for us all.
I just thought maybe we could go around and say the best thing that we've done at Nine Worlds and then the best thing that we've seen.
This means that people have to have some self-confidence about their own work.
Wow, or the most enjoyable thing that you did, or something maybe you thought
Do you want to start?
No, I think we should go this way, Gemma.
Well, the trouble is, I was asked this on another podcast I recorded.
Oh, sorry, I'm so unoriginal.
No, but I mean, it's the same thing. It's a problem, because, like, what's your favourite thing? I was like, well, actually, it was the LGBTQ+ representation in games, because I think we did a really good panel.
Yeah.
Which Lauren moderated. It was... myself, Catherine Cross, who's one of my favourite people in the world now, even more so, and Maki Yamazaki.
Yay!
The dozen or so positive examples of LGBT representation.
I would kind of agree with that, because, like, of all of the panels that I was helping sort of set up this Nine Worlds, that was the one that I was the most nervous about, because for some reason I thought it would be a good idea to say, right, let's talk about LGBT representation in games, but not the good and the bad. Let's only focus on the positives and talk about good examples and fill an hour and a quarter.
I think it is a trap that Nine Worlds panels can fall into sometimes, is that they do focus on... Because, let's be honest, there's a lot of bad representation.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be here?
In everything, yeah.
It's something I think they are addressing, though, because they covered this in one of the racial representations in games as well, and they would only look at positive examples there.
Yeah, and it's... It's important to talk about the ones that are bad, obviously, but I think it's equally important, and it often gets glossed over, that we don't really talk about the positives.
Yeah, let's highlight the positives.
So I think it was a really good decision.
I like the concept of the near-misses, because it wasn't, oh, what's wrong with LGBT representation? It was, what have they done that's good but could be better? And that's what it should be. Like, that's what we were saying. We shouldn't stand for any less than what we deserve.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm so glad how well we filled up that hour and a quarter. I was so nervous going into it we wouldn't, but I don't don't take any credit for that. I thank you and Catherine and Mackie entirely for having the intelligent answers that filled up the time I had set aside. So thank you for being intelligent on my behalf.
No problem. It was a pleasure. But yeah, I really liked our takeaway, because basically what we realised over the course of the panel, quite spontaneously, which was nice, is that although there are so few examples, there are enough that actually we can look at examples where, like, we've got very specific examples of, say, a transition represented in game mechanics. And on the other side of the scale, you've got things like Mass Effect, which can be used as totally escapist places where you can explore aspects of sexuality, and it's not challenged, which means it's not represented. Representative. English now.
I have returned the presents for the podcast.
Oh! I apologise that we've been stopped here, podcast listeners.
But this is...
Badass Badger has returned with gifts for the podcast?
This yes. Divide these among yourselves. There's four prints.
Oh, thank you. We've been given...
What? Shiny!
Oh. We've been given some wonderful prints. We will describe these. So first of all, there is a Steven Universe We Are the Crystal Gems print.
Oh, that's cool.
We've got a We Are Not Things Mad Max Fury Road print. What Can I Do For You Lesbian Kissing Steven Universe print. And Over the Garden Wall Adorableness. Ah, amazing print. Ah.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
Can I have all four of these, please? Thank you. Thank you very much, Badass Berger.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hooray. We don't know what's happening on this podcast. It is its own thing. I imagine you want Fury Road.
I really, really want the Fury Road one. Should
we have the
Steven Universe stuff. Maybe we need to share and then send it to each other.
Yes, we'll just send it back and forth.
So would you like Over the Garden Wall?
I don't know what it is.
You should watch it. You would love it.
I think you'd like it, actually.
Let's talk a little bit about Over the Garden Wall, because we've not talked about it.
I still haven't seen the last episode.
This is me giving you this print to convince you have to watch
now
it.
You kind of have to.
Now you have to watch this. If you like Welcome to Night Vale, you will like the sensibility of this show.
Oh, I don't like Welcome to Night Vale at all.
She's wearing a Welcome to Night Vale shirt. I apologise for the...
That's why that was funny.
Yes. So,
humour.
Works so well on radio.
Let me try it one more time. Over the Garden Wall is a Cartoon Network 12-episode sort of mini-series about a teenager and sort of a 6 or 7-year-old younger brother who stumble, have gone out when they're not supposed to and end up in this sort of fantasy world, lost in the woods, trying to find their way home through a weird fantasy land. And it's at times amusing and sweet and lovely, and at other times it's like, oh, this took really creepy, weird turns and everything got a bit dark all of a sudden.
That's fun.
It's very Night Vale in its sort of writing sensibility, that it's like, hey, here's this lovely story that took a really weird, unexpected, dark turn, and then everything has a really meaningful conclusion at the end. And
it also...
so good.
It made certain parts of it... made me think of Spirited Away the animation of certain villains and these monsters and things like that.
It's this really interesting, also very similar to some of the tonal aspects of Spirited Away. It's very sort of a narrative about growing up and about this sort of relationship between these two people, and it's really interestingly explored. If you like Welcome to Night Vale, I think you'd really, really like Over the Garden Wall.
One of them wears a teapot on his head.
Yes, he wears a teapot on his head. Does he have a
teapot
on his head?
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. It's got an upside-down spout and everything.
Yeah, that's an upside-down teapot on his head. So we're giving you this print. You are watching Over the Garden Wall now.
It's a pretty solid way to give homework, to be fair.
Yeah,
you have this adorable print. You have to watch the thing so that you know why you're going to love this print.
They're only 10-minute episodes, so...
Okay. But knowing the way I approach these things, I'll probably end up watching Steven Universe instead. But
you've not done Steven Universe yet, have you?
I still haven't, and everyone at this con is telling me about it.
Yeah,
how much do you know about Steven Universe and why you have to watch it?
Everything you've told me, which is actually quite a lot.
Yeah, I'm aware I've told you quite a lot. That's fine. I have to, though, because you need to watch Steven Universe. It's great.
Dan. I also still need to watch Inside Out. And they've got brilliant advertising for it outside Heathrow. And I'm just like, quit reminding me, I get bugged about this every weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Every Sunday night. Have you watched it yet? No.
Hi, Gemma. Have you watched Inside Out yet? No. Okay.
Have you watched Universe yet? Have you watched Over the Garden Wall yet?
That's basically how everything goes. It's like, when we started, it was like, Gemma, have you listened to Welcome to Night Vale yet, Gemma?
Oh, yeah.
Have you listened to that yet? And then you got around to that and you were like, oh my god, I really like it. And we were like,
so why don't you listen to our recommendations more often? You need to just stop sleeping.
I don't have any time.
Shared collective like data memory drive for all of us. And so one of us watches it and we can just be like, upload to the Geek Night In, and all of a sudden we've all watched it.
That would be good.
Can we like submit that? Like there's gotta be a trust.
Yeah.
That would be a weird podcast where we all just say exactly the same thing, so you get the same words but in quadruplicate.
But you'd all have your own opinion of it.
Yeah.
But you just would have seen it. Does that make sense?
I like this hypothetical science that you are somehow going to create.
I'll donate the proceeds from my book.
I think that's a good idea.
To this.
Because I'm sure that will be enough to create this science.
This is definitely doable.
Let's estimate how much it would take, and if I make less than that, we'll just open a cat factory.
Okay. I'm totally happy with this.
While I remember, also on the topic of Gemma, have you watched Gravity Falls yet?
This needs to be a corner.
What is that?
Gemma, have we not told you to watch Gravity Falls?
I'm sure we have.
Okay, again, this is basically Welcome to Night Vale for children. It is two children live in a mysterious American town somewhere where all sorts of mysterious things happen, and ultimately every episode everything's fine by the end, but it is basically kids living in Night Vale. This could be a pair of kids living on the other side of Night Vale.
Is Gravity Falls the name of the place?
It is the name of the place.
Does it have a metro system like Night Vale does?
It does not have a metro system that I'm aware of. I apologize. It does have log cabins and creepy, mysterious books.
Not the same.
No? It has a man who has a magic eight ball on his hat.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Design the metro system for it, though.
Well, I still
design
have that on my to-do list.
City skylines. City skylines.
Yeah, I just do a city skylines of Night Vale. I should totally do that.
That's a good idea, actually.
I need to return to Raygun Gothenburg, though. That's been sat there for a while.
Yes, it has.
Anyway, we should take advantage of the fact that we have an audience here. Hello, audience. We remember you exist. Hello. audience who happen to exist. Is there anything that you'd particularly like to talk about, geeky things this week, that either you've experienced or you want us to talk about or that you want to talk about yourselves?
Or if you have any questions.
Or any questions. Do you have anything you'd like to contribute?
One of you needs to ask me about my book, otherwise I'm never talking to any of you ever again.
Oh, how about your book?
What a fantastic question.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
Oh,
thank you, Ellie,
for asking about Tilly's book.
Oh, gosh, wow. Took me by surprise there. Mm. Well, it's actually not going very well. I don't want to talk about it.
That is
Are you serious?
No, it's fine. I was joking about having to ask me about the book.
Tilly. Well, what was your favourite thing that you've done?
I quite like the supernatural queer baiting panel just did.
Yeah, this was...
That went surprisingly well, given that I haven't watched any Supernatural for about a year.
I've watched three seasons of it and read up on the plot while drinking last night. I was like, what things have I not seen? Let's read up on the queerbaiting tonight.
But it went really well, yeah. Because it wasn't announced, we literally just wrote some signs and put them up outside the room.
We physically made signs and walked around the convention being like, there's a panel on this topic happening, please come.
So there wasn't a lot of people, but it was nice and like quite intimate, and we all like chatted about Supernatural and how it's a terrible show, but
and
it tricks you into thinking that it's good. Like
Game of Thrones,
it does like shitty things, and then you'll be like, but maybe it didn't do that because it's shitty. Maybe it did that to make some kind of deep, complex point, and it's like, no, it didn't. It's just shit. It was a lot of fun, and somehow we filled an hour and 15 minutes.
My favourite thing about that for me was like, I was really worried about how that panel would go, considering that it was such a sort of last minute put together panel. And we had two people who came in who asked about what the panel was, who had not seen any Supernatural. They were like, do we need to have seen Supernatural to understand this? And it's like, nope. we're going to try and make this friendly to you. And they seemed interested. They stayed the whole time. They had questions at the end and they engaged and they were like, oh yeah, this is a really good panel. I was like, you don't know the show and you like the panel? Yay, we did a decent job. Mm. Hooray. Basically, it was just us all being sad that Destiel isn't a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Destiel.
Except it is a thing.
Yeah, but why would they make it
a thing?
Yeah.
And it leads on, like, next year we were talking about doing a headcanons panel, which, in my mind, would literally just be maybe the five of us sitting at the front, and we'd just go, trans man, bisexual, Dean Winchester. Discuss.
I think it's important to point out, if anyone listening doesn't know, headcanons is the idea of creating your own fiction that, because it's not explicitly proven false by existing fiction, you choose to believe it.
Yeah. And then you discuss it for... The audience would discuss it amongst themselves. Well, not really amongst themselves, but you discuss it with the audience, and then you'd be like, okay, that's enough. Black Harry Potter. Discuss. And you just, you know, fill up your hour and a half like that.
Like, there are so many brilliant Harry Potter headcanons we could discuss, including like the charms for reducing sensory issues for like autistic students at Hogwarts, and there are so many good Hogwarts Harry Potter headcanons. They're great. Yeah.
Quills that like maybe shine. Oh, I know, no, listen. Parchment that when they write on it, it's coloured a certain way to help with dyslexia, but then when they hand it in, goes to
or corrects or to a special ink and like magical ink that corrects your spelling as you go.
I like the trans ones where there's a trans kid who's not out yet trying to get into the assigned genders dormitories, and the paintings just won't let them in. And that's just really cute to me.
Yeah, there are some really, really cute Harry Potter headcanons, so...
J.K. Rowling was wasted.
If I don't get kicked out of running the LGBT track, and if I can do it again next year, we will run a headcanons panel, and it will be great.
I'd also like to try and organise a book swap. Like, bring books that you've read and that you don't really want anymore, and just, like, swap them. I think that would be cool.
That you just want me, I've forgotten books. For the second year running to give you that book I was going to lend you.
What book were you going to lend me?
Maul by Tricia Sullivan.
And you've still not brought it to me for a second year in a row.
Although, actually, now I think about it, no, it's still in my husband's place, which we never get to go to, because the thing is I fly direct to the convention, so we never actually stop off at his place or anything in Surrey. So I keep forgetting about that.
Gemma doesn't want you to read this book.
I have just realised I can't complain too much about Gemma not bringing a gift, because Gemma did bring a gift for me that needs describing for the audio podcast listeners who are not here in the beautiful room. Gemma bought me a pack of stickers that are multicoloured, different angled, different sizes shots of butts. So,
where did you get it? Like, what Google search term?
Actually, it was a friend of mine who'd linked to it. I don't know how she found it.
I have seen this art of butts. I've been meaning to for a while. There is a mug that has these butts on it. I really want to get the butt mug at some point.
You got a little pamphlet, a zine?
Yes, someone gave me a zine that they got from a Chicago, I think it was, zine festival, that again was entirely about butts, and it was just like, this page is some pink butts. This page is some blue butts. And
they were good butts.
Yeah, they were really good pictures of butts. So
really well shaded.
Yeah, this has been a really weird convention for me where just everyone has given me butts. And I'm like, oh, thank you for the butts.
I got a Game Boy last year. And I've done even better on presents this year. Because the lovely Laura gave me a PlayStation, which is a pretty cool present, I think.
I gave Kate my old PS3 because... I can't remember why. There was a reason.
I gave you a phone.
Yes.
And you
my phone broke. You gave me your old phone. So I was like, oh, I have a PS3 I no longer use. Here you go.
And now I can be a professional gamer.
Yeah, you're going to play all of the Call of Duty 360 no scope.
I have no idea what that means.
That is a thing that teenage boys say.
But like, Call of Duty. It's like book swap, but we've got a tech swap.
Going. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. And I also got a t-shirt from Owen. Which he'd talked to, he was like, there's this cool t-shirt and I want to buy it for you. And I was like, I'm not going to say no. And I wore it yesterday. And it says, Black Widow School for Assassins.
Oh, that's cool.
Which
is
really cool. And I've also been given The Wicked and the Divine, the first copy, the first trade paperback from Kirsty.
I haven't been given anything.
Well, the thing is, she's been meaning to give it to me for ages because
doesn't count. All of us got one of those.
Because because she bought it for her friend, didn't see her friend and thought, oh, I'll keep it for myself. And then her mum bought her a copy for Christmas. So when she gave it to me, and bearing in mind it's August, it's covered in Christmas wrapping paper. And she was like, well, I wasn't going to rewrap it. And I'm like, fair enough, that's fine.
Amusingly, it took me a second to work out when we were doing the Supernatural panel today, one of our panellists was mentioning Wickdiv, and it took me too long to realise that was the Wicked and the Divine.
Well, Kieran Gillen's here this year, and he was here last year, and last year I spoke to him, and I was like, oh, I wonder if he'll remember me. But since the Wicked and the Divine has just absolutely exploded,
he's a big old famous person now.
Then you can't get near him now. It's like, oh, I'm not even going to bother.
We could have got near him last night at 3 a.m. had we been willing to give up the rest of the bottle of rum.
We were not willing to give up.
No, because Lauren was like, oh, give me the bottle of rum to go give to Kieran Gillen. It's like, no, you abandoned us for Kieran Gillen. You're not getting a bottle of rum.
Bad. No, do not steal that alcohol.
Anyway.
Well, I have breaking news, by the way.
Breaking news?
I have to provide a bit of context. So last year at Game City in Nottingham, which is a fabulous games festival in which the city gets basically taken over by video games, it's a very indie-friendly thing. And it's... there are like video game themed pubs there now. There was this running thing where basically everyone was finding little plastic red rabbits that had actually been made from a local makerspace, and a bunch of us took them and did like photos of like the rabbits and their travels and stuff. I just found a yellow one earlier and posted a tweet of it saying it's like being at Game City but yellow, and all of a sudden I just had DMs and replies from people who basically like hooked close to where these red rabbits originated from, just saying like everything changed when the Yellow Rabbit Nation attacked. So all of a sudden, Nine Worlds has gone to war with Game City.
I have seen a couple of people with bags of these rabbits just kind of, you know, scattering them on
this
tables
is
and
fascinating.
Things.
See, I was going to pick one up and then bring it with me back to Stockholm, but I have the red rabbit there.
One of these days there will be a rabbit that is all four colours at once, that will be four simultaneous colours and will be able to control all of the factions of rabbit kind and will lead all of the conventions to unity together.
It will be the
Rabbitar.
And I have no idea what's going on.
We're making a rabbit's analogue of Avatar.
Why rabbit?
Because there were yellow rabbits, and someone said, oh, everything changed when the yellow rabbits attacked.
It makes
sense.
Where
were the yellow rabbits?
Never
mind.
Oh,
it makes sense.
Tell me about it.
The thing is, they're a complete enigma, because we're wandering around Nottingham, nobody knew what they're about. We assumed they were from a makerspace, and still, they've not really answered this. Like, some people know who made them, but it's all quite secret.
That's cool.
So I'm intrigued now to see what happens next Game City, because...
I just wanted to say, you said obviously simultaneous four colours and things. Did anybody see the 6 Channing Tatums in one cosplay yesterday? So it was like, what was the Roman? It was like, I had half a Roman centurion hat, half a peaked baseball cap. Yeah, half like abs for days, and then like football, like soccer shorts and a football boot on one leg, and I can't remember what it was on the other leg. I'm sure there was some 21 Jump Street in there, but yeah, it was six
different Channing Tatum characters in one outfit.
But they did say that if they took two off, there'd be 4chan. But it was. But I also cosplays, good cosplays that we've seen.
Woolen. What do we call them?
Wonder Woman?
Jane Cobb. There was somebody who I haven't seen them around since Friday, but they have the Jane Cobb woolen hat, but also a woolen rifle and just woolen accessories generally. I totally forgot my cosplay tokens at that point, but that's my favourite so far.
There is someone who has a set of knitted chainmail that was just absolutely fantastic. There was a wonderful Tiny Tina costume from Borderlands 2.
I saw that one.
Yeah, there was a Tiny Tina. What good costumes have we seen? Who did you give your cosplay tokens to? Do you remember?
No.
I don't remember.
There was a Peggy Carter who was really good.
My cosplay was amazing.
Your
stealth snow
legs. I have a thematic cosplay, and it was so stealthy, even I didn't know about it. I was wearing a t-shirt that said, House Stark, Winter is Coming. And I had very dark blue trousers with white polka dots that looked like snow. Yeah. And somebody pointed out that it was a thematic House Stark Winterfell cosplay. And I was like, this is deep.
Yeah.
this is really deep. So I got a token for that.
Well done.
Speaking vaguely of costumes, I'd totally forgotten. Did anybody go to Nightmare Live on Friday night?
No,
I can't remember. Everything's blurred. Con has blurred, basically.
And it's worth saying, like, the queue was an event in itself.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was held in both of the Commonwealth rooms, which are some of the largest places where Nine Worlds does, like, the open event stuff. But they opened both of those out. And yet the queue for it went right round the atrium, into another room, back out into the atrium, round corners. It was only, like, it was a few hundred people, but it was just a massive queue. But yeah, that was an extraordinary event. Because I've heard about this. It's something they've run at the Edinburgh Fringe. And it is a revival of the Nightmare TV show, which showed on CITV in the early 90s. I want to say, like, 93, 94. Which, for anyone who hasn't come across it, was basically very video game themed. It featured one child who had to put on the Helm of Justice, which was basically a bucket with horns on it. And two other kids would be there to... They'd be able to see where this child was and sort of guide them through these dungeons. And basically, it was like a green screen video game kind of experience. It was quite surreal. And indeed, Nightmare Live, they start it by saying, if you haven't seen Nightmare before, this isn't going to make a lot of sense. Because it's full of trappings, and it's just the perfect thing for audience participation. So there's always this thing where this blindfolded child would stumble into a room, and because they're in, like, a green screen space, only their team could actually see where they were, and they had to give the descriptions to them. But it always started with, where am I? You are in a room. That's the least helpful thing you could possibly have. And then there'd be all sorts of, you'd have, like, it's usually people in costumes would appear. So you'd have, like, shopkeepers with little riddles, and they'd have to answer and complete the room. Or you'd have goblins running around with, like, very slowly trying to aim axes and things. And the dungeon explorer would have, like, a life system and inventories and a knapsack.
So it was, like, a very intense Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, pretty much. But, like, done for TV with this really... interestingly portrayed Dragar, who's the dungeon keeper, basically, and sort of, well, not so much a dungeon keeper, but he's like the host of the show as well, talks in very lyrical terms and gets it across. It's well worth tracking down on YouTube, but the live show is also really brilliant to see. And like I said, they've done it at the Edinburgh Fringe, but that's not exactly easily accessible for me, despite the fact I can get a plane to Edinburgh, I guess. But yeah, it was part of the general inclusive lineup for Nine Worlds, so it was
cool.
Nice to see.
Woo.
And it was actually one of my favourite bits was the shopkeeper had they had to basically gather up an inventory, so it was an audience participation thing. The shopkeeper only had chalk and they wanted 12 items, so they went down to the audience to gather items so that the shopkeeper could sell things for the team to use in a quest. And it was things like there was a stuffed bag purse.
I was going
to
say, here there's going to be some weird stuff.
Sonic screwdriver. There was so much urge from the audience to, like, pick the sonic screwdriver and things like that. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm pleased you enjoyed that.
That sounds lovely. Now we have one more opportunity. Audience, do you have anything you'd like to add this episode? Do you want to say anything, anyone?
Nope.
I'm
trying to get.
I tried. Owen's back. Hello.
2 minutes left.
We have two
minutes.
Do you
want to ask a question?
Well, I want to ask a question.
Yeah, you have to come in and shut the door, though.
All right.
A noise.
I'll ask a question.
Owen has arrived. Do you want to answer a question in your room?
I'll
answer
a
question.
Ask
right.
a question. Yeah.
No, you're asking. You're asking.
Asking.
I don't know what to ask now.
Well, does anybody else have anything to ask?
Yeah.
I mostly just want to squeer Laura about Life is Strange.
Okay. Life is Strange.
You have 1 minute.
Okay, spoiler-free, Life is Strange, 1 minute. I was terribly afraid in episode one that the whole show would just go completely off the rails because it has all of the trappings of a David Cage game where it's just going to go completely off the rails. As the episodes have gone on, it has reassured me more and more that it actually knows what it's doing with its heavy use of themes. Very interesting themes covered agency within difficult real-life situations. That's really cool. I'm really excited for episode 5, but I am terrified of episode 5 happening. Is that the kind of squee you wanted?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, we will talk about this after the show.
Yes. Woo.
Successful squee! So, we've got to say goodbye, so...
I need to put my bra back on.
That's fine, we'll get kicked out. Okay, Kate, while you're putting your bra back on, do you want to tell people who you are, where they can find you on the internet, etc.?
I am a bit naked. @WhatKatie_did @TheGeekAgendaUK And is that it? Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, that's me.
That's the one. Cool. What about you, Gemma? Where can people find you on the internet?
You can generally find me anywhere as at Raygun Goth.
It's not working.
Yeah, which is Patreon, Twitter,
all of those wonderful things.
That covers most of the things.
Yeah.
Does anybody object if I very, very quickly take my top off?
That's fine, go right ahead.
This is a racy podcast.
Yeah,
if only you could see this, listener. There is a topless Kate in the room.
There genuinely is.
Yeah.
When I was in Thailand, a friend of mine was like, can I come in? And I was like, yeah, I'm naked. And she thought I meant like this. I was completely naked. So,
goodness.
Yeah.
Tilly, where can we find you on the internet?
Try following that one, aren't they?
It's at Gathering Tilly on Twitter. You can find my book at patreon.com/valencekiller. It's great. There's gay people, there's gay dragons. It's wonderful.
Hooray.
Very inclusive.
Yes,
very
and dragon-y. I'm Laura K. Buzz on everything. So Laura K. Buzz on Twitter, Patreon, iTunes, YouTube, everything. Thank you very much for listening to our live episode. We're getting kicked out. Hooray! Thank you for being here.
I hope you enjoyed
this. We will have another episode again for you soon. Bye.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Cool.